Welcome to Rambam on the line. We'll learn now Perek Asiri, the 10th chapter of Hilchos of the Avodas Kochavim. It's set up Mem Zayin Amud Beis in most standard Rambams. Halacha Aleph. Ein Kosim Bris B'Shiv Amamim, Kedei Shnasim Am Sholom, V'Raniach Olsim Lavad Akum. You're not allowed to make a covenant with the seven nations that inhabited the land of Israel in order to make peace with them and allow them to continue worshipping idols. Shnav, as it says, Osichos V'Hem Bris, do not make a covenant with them. And the Yachshim of Adosim O Yehargu. Either they must give up idolatry, or you kill them. When you're conquering the land of Israel, you may not allow the idolatrous seven nations to be there, as long as they're idolatrous. The also, Racham Aleim, you may not have any compassion on them. Shneem, as it says, the Losachonim have no compassion upon them. If you see an idolater in danger or drowning in the river, you're not supposed to help him. You see him close to death, you're not supposed to save him. Because he's an idolater. But to actually cause him to get lost and hurt, or the duck or the bar to throw him into a pit, or similar things, Arthur, that's forbidden. You're not allowed to kill even an idolater. Because he's not waging any war with us. The Madvam Amorim B'Shiva Mammon. This applies to the seven nations. Avlamotchim Vavakursim Yisrael Hayidin La'avdom B'Yad. But really, by right, the Motchim, the informers, the Jewish informers, and the Jewish heretics, by right, you should be able to destroy them. Well, reading that they're shachas and to lower them down into the pit. Because they would inflict torture upon the Jewish people and take the people away from God through their unbelieving kind of things. So they're worse than a non-Jewish idolater. Now, my text, as the standard text of the Rambam, read the Shiva Amon and the Seven Nations. I don't think that that's correct. I think that was put in by the censor. I think that this would be true about any idolater on the law that he said here. Halacha Beis. Mikan atalam eichas l'rapos akum afilu b'schas. And here you learn that you're not allowed to cure an idolater even if you're getting paid for it. If he was afraid of them, or he was afraid they would get angry and be angry at the Jewish people, l'rapos b'schas, then he can cure them for payment, but for free not. He's not going to get angry for you if you don't do it for free. You're going to say, listen, you have to pay me. If you don't do it even then, he might get angry at you and harm you, so therefore you can cure him. V'ger toshav, however, a non-Jew who accepts upon himself the seven commandments, and that's known as the ger toshav, ho'olat ha'metzuvah l'achyoso, since you're commanded to help him live, to give him charity, merat mosa b'chinam, him you can heal without payment. Halacha gimel. In Israel, you're not allowed to sell idolaters, houses, or fields. In Syria, you can sell them houses, but not fields. In Israel, you can rent houses. As long as you don't make an idolatrous neighborhood. A neighborhood means at least three. You do not rent even fields in Israel. The Syria Maskilam Sadas. In Syria, you can rent fields to them. In Mahmir Basada, why are they stricter with a field than with a house? In Shish Bashtan, because there's two things. First of all, Maskim Manamaitros. You are withholding the giving of the tithe from that land, the land of Israel, which you should give tithes by selling it to a non-Jew, or even renting it to a non-Jew. He's not going to give tithes on it, obviously. Also, you're doing them a favor and giving them a resting place in our soil. And they were idolaters, and you want to avoid that. However, outside of Israel, you can even sell houses and fields. Because that's not our land. Even in a place where it's permitted to rent, they do not allow to rent it for a dwelling place. Because he's going to bring idols into it. The Naaman says, do not bring an abomination into your house. so that I'm just going to bring an idol into your house. But when we talk about renting a house, you mean you rent a house if you make it a storage place. The Rabbi says, provided that it isn't a storage place of wine, because that's yayinetha, that's forbidden wine, and you don't want to encourage that. The Rasa, if you did do it, the rent for it is prohibited. The Kesef Mishnah says that there's no reason to suppose that the Rambam would disagree with the Rai, but he would agree that for Yainetach it's not allowed. We said before you're not supposed to sell them land in Israel or even in Syria. You're not even allowed to sell them the fruit or the grain or other plants that are still attached to the ground. You can sell it once it's cut off, or Malkalo Manas Lokutz Vakotis, or you can sell it when it's still attached on condition that he cut it, harvest it, and he does sell. Why don't you sell this to them? As it says, Velosachanim, do not be kind to them. That which we're interpreting here as do not giving them a resting place in the ground, in the land. As he says, Lositalem Chania Bakarka. Shimloyalem Karka, because if they do not have land, then they're only going to live temporarily in Israel because they don't have any farming land. And also, you're not allowed to speak in their praise. Even to say, how beautiful in appearance is this idolater. Certainly, you're not allowed to talk about how good his actions are. Or he should hold precious any of their things. Which here is interpreting it, lo yeh lahem chen beinecha, have no favor, they shouldn't have anything favorable in your eyes. Why? This causes you to cleave to him and to learn from his bad idolatrous actions. You're not allowed to give them gifts for free. But to a ger toshav, that's a non-Jew accepts upon himself the seven mitzvahs, him you can give gifts for free. If you have a non-kosher an animal that became non-kosher, you give it to the ger toshav as a present, and he can eat it. Or you sell it to a non-Jew, here referring to an idolater. To an idolater you sell, and you don't give. You give charity to the poor of the idolaters, together with the poor of Israel, in order to preserve peace. You do not stop the poor idolaters, the Lekachikopeya, who are collecting the gifts that are left in the field for the poor, the leket, the grains that drop, the shikha, the forgotten sheaves, the peya, the corner of the field. You greet them even on their pagan holidays just to preserve peace. You call them shalom lalom, but you never repeat greetings of peace to them. Once is enough. In other words, you don't say hello, hello, several times in a very friendly way. You're not supposed to go into the house of an idolater on his pagan holiday in order to greet him. If you find him in the marketplace on the pagan holiday, you give him in a low voice and in a serious voice, you greet him to show that your disapproval of idolatry. All of the foregoing laws apply to the time when the Jews are in exile among the idolaters, or when the hands of the idolaters in Israel are dominant over the Jews. When the hand of Israel is stronger than the idolaters, you're not allowed to allow any idolaters to live in our midst. Even to sit temporarily. He's just passing through one place to another on business. Do not let him pass through our land, the land of Israel. Until he accepts the seven commandments which the sons of Noah are obligated to do. It says, they shouldn't live in your land, even temporarily. The Ravid says, we never hear anywhere that you can't even pass through your land. The pasuk shemavi b'zayin umatu. First of all, the pasuk that the Rambam brings is talking about the seven nations. It's not talking about a regular idolater. The afilu l'dvarav, even according to him, he's applying it to all idolaters. Yeshiva k'siv b'hu v'lo avara. It says they shouldn't dwell there. It doesn't say anything about them not passing through. Because the Mishnah explains, since the purpose of all of this is not to learn from their ways, Even if they're passing through, you can learn from their ways. So you shouldn't let them. The Rambam continues, in Kivlo Lav Sheva Mitzvah, if the non-Jewish idolater renounces idolatry, he accepts the seven Noahide commandments, raises a Ger Tosha, then he's known as a Ger Tosha, a stranger who's dwelling in your land. You do not accept a Ger Tosha except in the time when the laws of Yovel apply. Not in the time of Yovel, you only accept a convert to Judaism, but not a Ger Tosha. The Ravid says, Eini mashvelo b'shivat aretz. I don't agree with him as far as living in the land of Israel. In other words, the Ravid says, even though we don't officially accept a Ger Tosha in the Beis Din, but if in fact he's not a worshipping idol, even nowadays you may allow a non-Jew to live in Israel. After all, even though he's not officially a Ger Tosha, but since de facto he's not worshipping idols and he's keeping the seven mitzvahs, therefore he would be allowed to live in Israel. The Kesef Mishnah says that the Rambam doesn't necessarily argue. All that the Rambam says is we don't accept a Ger Tosha. But if a person is actually living as a de facto Ger Tosha, even without acceptance, the Rambam could very well agree with the Ravid that you could allow him to stay in Israel.